Welcome to the Advisor Advocates Podcast. My name is Garrett Lill. I'm a certified financial planner and former advisor. Through the Advisor Advocates in this podcast, I hope to be able to help advisors better understand the overall landscape of the industry by sharing with you some of the information that I've accidentally accumulated through my experiences and relationships developed over a 15-year career as an advisor and then as a consultant to advisors and firms. The financial services industry is filled with a lot of really brilliant people with intelligent perspectives and insights and just different ways to execute their visions. But a lot of this information isn't shared with other advisors because advisors and firms tend to stay very isolated, kind of living on our own islands. And this leaves a lot of advisors and firms not really knowing what they don't know about what else is going on out there in the industry. Hopefully by sharing some of these ideas and different perspectives that I've been exposed to, I can help you create a clearer vision for where you want to see your career and your business go in the future, and then help you make more informed decisions along the way so that you can hopefully see them play out. One of the things that I always try to be careful of and mindful of in this podcast and other content that I do is I don't ever want to come across as if I'm proclaiming to be the wizard of financial services or as if I have all the answers, mostly because that couldn't possibly be farther from the truth. Most of the things that I'm sharing on this podcast are actually lessons from my failures, much more than they're lessons from my successes. I try to just pass along some things that I've learned that may be valuable to you as well, and maybe me sharing it with you will save you some time and headaches along the way. But of all of the topics that I could cover, all the things that I could talk about, I could not possibly emphasize that point any more than I'd like to on this particular topic. This is the most perfect example of what I'm talking about here. When we talk about embracing digital marketing in your practice, this has been a very long process of trial and a whole bunch of error to figure out and learn some of these things. But I've also, just in conversations with advisors and others around the industry, started to notice that I'm definitely not the only one out there who maybe misapplied some of the concepts of how to use digital marketing in your practice. So I thought it might be a good idea to dedicate a show to passing along some of the lessons that I've learned from my failures in marketing. And also what, as I've started to see some success start to come from those efforts after what has turned out to be about a 6-year learning process, I wanted to pass those along as well and hopefully help you better understand how modern marketing works. And one of the interesting things about this is when you really start to think about the pitfalls that advisors run into and the reasons that we fail with our digital marketing efforts, it's mainly because we are not applying the exact same principles that we are preaching to our clients day in and day out. Because the reality is building a successful digital marketing strategy is very much like investing and accumulating a nest egg for retirement in a lot of different senses, but especially in the sense that you don't really get very far focusing too much on short-term results. When you really start to understand what digital marketing is and how it works and what makes it effective, you start to notice that, wow, there are a lot of similarities and commonalities between this and the principles of investing. So on this show, I want to spotlight that a little bit and just kind of talk about some of those common principles or similarities between the two. And hopefully at the end of this, you'll have a little bit better understanding of how to think of it as a long-term investment process. And maybe that'll help you to maybe be able to apply some of these principles to help grow your business long term and to incorporate this as part of your growth plans. So let me start off by picking on myself as the guinea pig here. Okay. I was first introduced to the concept of digital marketing about 6 years ago, around 2018, late 2017, early 2018. Someone told me that I should start doing digital marketing for my practice, and I completely laughed at that notion, and basically my response was, no one is going to invest any meaningful amount of money with me because they saw a Facebook ad or look me up on Google. The types of clients that I'm looking for are the types of people that are making more serious long-term decisions, and they're going to vet me a lot more than that. Nobody's going to make a significant investment just because they saw me on Facebook. And most of all, the people who would make that type of a decision probably the types of clients that I don't want. So I completely shunned the idea. About a year later, I started to notice how effective digital marketing was on me, and the fact that every single time I even seemed to think about a product, the next time I got on my phone, lo and behold, there was someone offering that product to me. And it was a little freaky, honestly, to begin with. And I started to kind of explore this and say, okay, I think there is something to this. So I came up with the brilliant idea of coming up with a different product that people would buy at the, you know, with the click of a button, and try to figure out a different way to capitalize on digital marketing. So fast forwarding through about half of this process, it took me a while to really start to understand that if you do it the right way, you will be able to attract the right types of clients and to build the right types of relationships with potential new investors through digital marketing. You just have to think about it a little bit differently, because I think in my first iteration of this, my plan was come up with a product that everybody's going to want, then go tell as many people about it as you possibly can, and then they'll all immediately buy and you'll become an overnight millionaire and things will be great. Well, I don't care if you're trying to give away a free PDF download, get somebody to sign up for a free newsletter, or sell them a $50,000 car. In the digital world, with this very short attention span that we all have, you're not going to make an impact on the first click, second click, fifth click, 10th click. You may not even realize this, but subconsciously, you usually, by the time you make a decision to engage with a business, have already seen that business a few times that you forgot about it, okay? And the number may vary a little bit from exactly, you know, who you talk to, but the number that I keep hearing is that it takes 25 to 30 digital touches before somebody is even going to make one step towards engaging with your business. And this makes some sense, right? Because when I first started in this business, I did it probably like a lot of you did. If you've been around the industry for a while, it was cold calling, it was networking. And if you remember, maybe the first time or two that you talked to somebody, they might be somewhat polite to you. The real pain point came in like that third to eighth conversation, where they started to kind of get annoyed with you. And then if you lasted through that, maybe around the ninth or 10th connection or phone call with somebody, they might actually start to engage with you. Now, there are some anomalies there. I have some folks that I met with on the first or second try that seemed to be interested, and turns out that they did end up becoming clients. But if you took an average, someone called me early in my career, pleasantly persistent. I think that's a great term for sales, and what you want to be is pleasantly persistent. And that's what you're doing in digital marketing as well, except it's not as personal. You're not having a 10-minute, 20-minute conversation with someone. You're getting about 3 seconds of someone's time as they're scrolling through their Facebook feed. So it takes a lot more of those touches to be able to get someone's attention. The advantage of digital marketing is those touches, even though you only get 3 seconds, they come very cheap. You can get a click onto your webpage for about 50 cents to a dollar in for most products and services and industries. And you can very, very cost effectively get in front of a lot of people. I can hardly even believe the numbers when I look at how many people have been on my website, clicked on my videos, listened to a podcast, done whatever. And I've done that with a pretty modest budget. I mean, I'm not spending tens of thousands of dollars on marketing here, and I've still had tens of thousands of folks in financial services engaging with my content. So it doesn't take a lot to get somebody to look at you, but it does take a lot of those looks before you're going to really get their attention when you're getting it 3 seconds at a time. The biggest misconception that I think that a lot of advisors have, and I pick on myself, I spent a lot of time developing this product 5, 6, 7 years ago and really thought that I had nailed it. I thought I had the best idea ever. And it was one of these things where like you plan the ad campaign that's going to launch first of the month, and you went ahead and like blocked off your entire calendar for the month because I thought I was going to be so busy handling all these new orders that I wasn't going to have time for anything else. And then first of the month comes, we launch, second, third, fourth, fifth, I'm getting nothing but crickets. So a month into it, I'm banging my head against the wall and I'm ready to quit. And then 2 months later, I completely did. So you have to set the right expectation when you start a marketing program. Yes, it's going to be cheap to get one person to look at your content one time for 5 to 10 seconds. It's also going to take a lot of those touches before they're going to actually engage with you. What you're doing in the early stages of marketing are planting a lot of seeds. You know, you think about when you plant a crop, whether you're a gardener or a farmer or anything else, you throw the seed out, and you don't get a crop the next day, and you don't even really notice sometimes the growth day to day, week to week. It's over time that you start to see that seed producing some type of a fruit. A lot of advisors, especially not really having a lot of background in marketing, I think tend to expect too much too soon. And then once they get involved in the process, they get a month or 2 months or 3 months into it, they throw up their hands and say, this doesn't work, and then they move on. I've heard so many stories of advisors who say digital marketing doesn't work. And I certainly was on that side of the fence for a really long time. But the reality of it is, think about someone investing in a portfolio. One of my favorite examples of the power of compounding and exponential returns is the example of if I offered you $1,000 today or a penny today and offered to double it every single day for a month, which would you prefer? If you've heard this before, you know you're much, much wiser long term to take the penny today and double it every day for the next month. But it takes a really long time for that to take effect. In fact, 15 days into that month, your penny would have only grown to be $163. You end up with about $5.3 million by the end of the month. But even on the 25th day, it's only $167,000. Most of the fruit of that particular seed doesn't come until the very, very end of the process, right? So a lot of advisors start down this path. They get frustrated with it on day 5, day 10, maybe even day 15, and they walk away, not realizing that they're much, much closer now to realizing the ultimate, goal of all their work. They just throw their hands up because they think it doesn't work, and now they've wasted the money of trying to get there. So as much as we talk to clients about this, we don't usually understand it ourselves. And I don't think it's because we're, well, I should say, I don't think it's just because we're impatient. I think it's a combination of advisors being maybe a little bit impatient and also not having the right understanding of how the whole process works. When you really start to peel back how digital marketing works, it's actually something that is tailor-made for the mindset of a financial advisor, because the really, really cool thing that you get with digital marketing is you get analytics like you could never believe in terms of feedback for your business. And this can be a little bit of a catch-22 in a way, because you do have access to more information than you could imagine to help you get feedback on which messages were landing, which ones weren't, which audiences are you able to obtain more cost effectively than others. Hey, look, you may be targeting 65-year-olds in a certain neighborhood, but then you may find out that you're able to get four times as many clicks for half the cost on, in a different demographic. And when you start doing the cost benefit analysis of that, you may realize that, hey, I can grow my business even faster marketing to this. It may not quite be the ideal client that I'm looking for, but it's 90% as good as the ideal client that I'm looking for. And I can get, four or five times as many of them for the same budget. As you start to get all this data back, it can really consume you if you're not careful. So you do have to be mindful of that and use the analytics, but not obsess over them. But if you're training yourself properly and conditioning yourself properly and keeping the analytics, in their proper place, they are an invaluable tool to give you feedback so that you don't continue to do the same things over and over and over again, seeing that they're not working. It's a great way to test ideas. If you have a new marketing slogan or a new phrase that you want to try to start using with your clients, you can throw that out in a test ad and compare that to what you've been using. And be able to see, okay, when I was using my, tried and true traditional messaging, I had a, 4% click rate. When I've used this brilliant new slogan, I get a 1% click rate. Apparently, people don't like the slogan as much as I thought they would. And you can learn a pretty valuable little tip that might even save you from using that language that's not popular in a conversation with your clients. So the analytics give you a lot of really great feedback that you can apply to a lot of areas of your business. But you do have to be careful not to over obsess with them and dwell on too much. There is a balancing act that you have to play here. One common thread between a lot of advisors is financial advisors tend to be really good communicators, and they tend to be pretty good at taking complex problems and complex scenarios and figuring out how to boil them down to pretty simple, digestible information to help their clients better understand what we're doing. For this reason, a lot of advisors are really excellent at creating good content. One of the really interesting things that I've noticed over time is there are a lot of great videos, podcasts, educational series that are all over the internet on financial advisors' websites that when you plug into it and you watch it, it's like, man, this is really brilliant. But if you look at their YouTube channels or you figure out a way to look at how many people are listening to the content they're putting out there, they're only getting 20, 25, 30 listeners, maybe 100 listeners per show. And most of that's coming from their own clients. It's not necessarily helping them to find a new business or find new clients. Because advisors are really good at developing content, maybe not quite as educated really about how to get it out there. I would encourage you to diversify your delivery of that a little bit. Some of your potential clients are going to be on Facebook and they're never going to use Google. Some are going to Google every single thing that they're going to consider purchasing or when they start to look for a financial advisor, the first thing they're going to do is go to Google and search for something, but they don't even have a Facebook account. Some of your clients or potential clients may be on X. Some may use Instagram. I mean, I know that we think of TikTok as being more for the millennials, but you know what? Some of your Gen Xers are on TikTok so that they can see their grandkids' videos. So you never know where your clients are going to be. So there is a balance here of wanting to get your content out in a few different formats, maybe having a 30-second short that you can put on Facebook as a reel, and also having the extended cut version of that that's available on YouTube and embedded into your website for somebody who wants to learn more. You may want to have a search campaign on Google. You may want to have a variety of different types of campaigns, but if you're doing this yourself, especially in-house, you do want to be careful not to spread yourself so thin that now you're spending the majority of your day going through the analytics and the performance of all these different channels. I would encourage advisors to come up with some content ideas, record some content, publish some content. Newsletters can be another thing that you can kind of put into the mix, and then start to build out a diversified content portfolio, you know, a couple things at a time. You don't have to throw out a newsletter, a blog, a podcast, a YouTube channel, a Facebook account, an Instagram account, a LinkedIn strategy, and bring it all to market at one time. Start with the ones you're the most familiar with, create a couple of pieces of content and get them out there, spend a few bucks promoting them, then do another thing on another channel, and then slowly build on that and add to that portfolio over time. Really similarly, maybe to even how a client starts to invest. Not every single client, in fact, I think a lot of clients don't make their first stock purchase by depositing $100,000 into an account and buying 25 stocks at one time. They save 500 bucks, they buy a stock. They save another 500 bucks, they buy another stock. They get a $3,000 bonus, they buy some more stock. You know, one day they look up and they've got $25,000 worth of random stocks that they've bought. And that might be the point where, you know, I had clients that I got at that point where they came to me and said, hey, I need to clean this up a little bit. So it doesn't all have to be, you don't have to be an expert in it to start the process. As you start to do this, you will start to notice, again, back to the analytics, that some work better than others. And if you're spending $9 per click and getting 5 seconds of engagement on one platform, and you're spending 75 cents per click and getting 6 minutes of engagement on another platform, it's pretty logical to maybe rally around that one platform that's a little bit more cost effective and start to, again, use the analytics to see, okay, well, why is this working better? And how can I take this information and apply it to a process of improving my overall strategy across all these channels? And what you're looking to do is to build an audience, right? Because it may cost you 50 cents to get one click. It may take 10 clicks before someone is going to become a follower on one of your social media platforms, or a regular visitor, or a regular listener to your podcast, or a regular viewer on your YouTube channel. And then how much value is there going to be in having that follower? Well, originally, not a lot. It just means that every time you put content out, they're going to be more likely to see it. But if it's cost you $5 to get one follower, $500 and get 100 followers, how many of those are you guaranteed to get as clients? Well, it's a pretty small sample size, maybe not a lot. But what about when you have 5,000 people seeing your content as soon as it's published? Well, now it's a little bit more likely that you're going to have somebody on a regular basis deciding to engage with you. The same thing is, you know, when you first started off in your career and you were cold calling or you were doing whatever you were doing, when you only knew four people and had four good leads, yeah, your odds were pretty slim that one of them was going to happen to say yes on a given day. But once you had 400 that you were dripping on, all of a sudden you start to notice little by little that more and more people are starting to call you, and more people are starting to reach out and want to have a conversation with you finally. And it's the same thing. The process plays itself out the exact same way digitally. In fact, that's one of the things that I found most interesting as the light bulb started to go off on this for me, is that it's really the exact same sales cycle, the exact same process that I was doing when I started my career as a cold caller. The only difference is it's playing out digitally and at a lot larger scale with a lot lower level of engagement. So if you have been in this business long enough to be thinking about investing in a digital marketing strategy, you've done something right on the sales side. And if you could invest in that same process digitally, you will get yourself eventually to a tipping point where you are getting essentially free leads all the time. One of the really interesting things that I misunderstood in the beginning of this, I think I Googled at some point, what's the average cost per acquisition, right? How much does it cost me as an advertiser to get somebody to buy my product? And as elementary as this sounds to me now, I basically took that and said, okay, if it costs $100 for an acquisition, as long as I can sell the product for more than $100, then this is going to be a profitable strategy. The problem with that is it's not a linear progression, right? You don't spend $100 for your first acquisition. You may spend $5,000 for your first acquisition. Depending on what you're selling, it may be $20,000 for your first acquisition. It may be $200 if you're selling t-shirts. It's going to depend, based on what it is exactly you're selling and how effective you are and all those types of things. But what we don't think about a lot of times is that this entire process is very front-loaded when it comes to the cost, because every time you do get a new follower or a new subscriber or a new viewer, whatever the metric is for somebody who is going to regularly see your content. Now, every single time you put out new content that they see it, you didn't have to pay for that. So it may cost $5,000 for your first acquisition, but then the second one might not have cost you anything. So now your average cost per acquisition is $2,500. If your third one costs you 75 cents, now you're down to, whatever, 1,000, 1,700 per. And then at the margin, it's getting cheaper and cheaper and cheaper over time. So when you see these numbers, if you've ever looked them up before and you see it's $75 per acquisition or $100 per acquisition, that probably comes from a sampling of folks that spent thousands of dollars and saw no return. And then a lot of people walk away at that point in the process and then leave all of the free leads that were going to be coming their way very shortly on the table. So having that patience and waiting for that tipping point and not walking away from the process when your penny has only turned into 16 or 32 cents by the fifth day, or even walking away at the 15th day when it's only worth $163, is one of the big keys to success. As long as you're doing it the right way and investing in it the right way and putting some things out there and trying to grow an audience and getting more and more people on your Facebook page and more people following your Instagram or your X account or subscribing to your YouTube channel or listening to your podcast or visiting your website or reading your blog, whatever your medium is, as long as you're sticking with it and you're seeing some type of steady growth, you will eventually get to that point where, you know what, you've got 1,000 people, 2,000 people, 5,000 people that are constantly hearing your messaging and seeing what you have to say. I've always kind of felt that, I guess, a successful sale comes from being at the right place at the right time. Well, part of that process is being in a lot of places, right? Back in the cold call days, that meant calling a lot of people. If you called enough people, you were going to come across somebody who just happened to be looking for a financial advisor on that particular day. If you only made 5 phone calls, your odds are a little bit less. But as you have a larger and larger amount of people that are hearing everything that you say, and those calls are becoming automated and they're becoming free and they're becoming very time and cost effective for you to make, now you're also going to increase your chances of getting the timing right? Because you just have a larger sample size. And sticking with it until you get to that tipping point is where you start to hear some of these success stories. And I used to be a little skeptical about were they even possible. I would talk to firms who said, they've built this big marketing engine and they're getting lead after lead after lead without having to do any work. And I used to think they were either lying or lucky, or I don't know, find another word that starts with L. But what I eventually started to learn is that, no, if you stick with it, I mean, there's going to be some limitations on it. You can't just be, you've got to have some type of a knack for communicating and getting the right messaging out there. But I mean, I used to say, I think if you a monkey could go around handing out business cards and eventually find a few clients, because somebody's eventually just going to want to do business with a monkey because it's cool. It doesn't matter so much what you're saying as much as it matters that you're saying it and that you're being honest and true to who you actually are. And that might be a little bit too deep of a topic to get into on this show, but I do think on a later episode, I'd love to dive into that a little bit, because that's the other mistake that I made a lot of times, was trying to mimic what I was seeing other successful advertisers do rather than being true to myself with what I was saying. And the more real you are, the more likely you are to attract the right types of people. So if you're creating content, presenting who you actually are, how you can actually help, helping people to understand what that is, and then consistently investing in it, you will eventually see that return. I think my last sort of parting, possibly meaningless knowledge, but hopefully not, is before you commit to it, don't waste the energy by not taking inventory of what it's going to cost you and making sure you can see it through. If this is not one of these things that this doesn't need to be one of these like traditional New Year's resolutions type things where you do it for a week and then you quit it. You want to make sure that you have the budget, the patience, the time, the capacity to understand this is going to take a while to see some fruit. Get your mindset right to be able to accept that it's going to take a little while. And then, maybe even try to psych yourself up a little bit by just enjoying the small gains. I mean, it's really exciting when you get your first subscriber, or your first follower, and your first 10, or your first 50, or your first 100, or whatever the metrics are that you're looking for. And you just want to make sure that you kind of condition yourself to have that patience and to know that you're in it for the long term. Listen to the same things you've probably been telling your clients for years. But if you put yourself in that mindset and you stay diligent, you stay consistent with it, you do eventually get to that point where you can be one of these successful firms that you're needing to call someone like me to say, hey, I need you to help me find new advisors because I don't have enough capacity to handle all these new clients that are coming in. And that's a really good place to be. And I know a lot of advisors want to get there. And I will say, if you are interested in doing this, but you're not quite sure that you have all the answers or know exactly how to execute it, or just want to have a conversation with me, I'd be more than happy to chat with you and see if I can help in some way or another. I have found it to be fairly ineffective, I suppose, for me to put out a lot of digital marketing services myself and prepackage them in a way that says, hey, this is what it costs and this is what I'm going to do for you. But if you want to reach out and have a conversation, usually we can kind of talk through your practice a little bit and what your niches are and what your strengths are, and look at your team and what you're doing now, and kind of figure out what a game plan would look like. And if it is something that I think that I might be able to help you do, I do have a lot of knowledge that I might be able to pass along, and a lot of technical abilities that I've developed over time that I could share with you that may be a way to help you save some time, cut down on some of those costs, and again, just maybe save you some of the time and headaches of trying to learn some of these things yourself. Because again, I spent 6 years getting to where I am right now with my level of knowledge of marketing and how this works. And it's not something I would do again. In fact, it's not something I really meant to do the first time around. I just kind of looked up at some point and realized, okay, well, I've figured out a few things here that could be really handy for some folks. So I would be very interested in chatting with you and seeing if there is a way for me to save you some of that time, save you some of that money. And I will say this about the learning curve of this. My experience with technology is that it usually takes me, I don't know, 10 hours to figure out how to do something that once I find out how to do it, it turns out it only takes it, takes me 10 seconds to actually do it, but it takes me 10 hours to find out how to do it. Since I do have, an accumulation of this knowledge in my little bag of tricks, there is a pretty good chance that if you want to have a conversation with me, I can share some of that with you, maybe even do some things for you in an hour that would take you a month to figure out how to do for yourself. So if there are some ways that I can help with that, love to chat. Feel free to give me a call on my cell, 919-561-2436. Shoot me an email to Garrett@theadvisoradvocates.com, or go to theadvisoradvocates.com/connect. In the message box, when you schedule the call, just maybe make a little note that you're interested in chatting about marketing, and I would love to chat with you if I can help. Either way, really appreciate your time. If you made it this far, thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. We'll see you next time.